click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
We're getting down to business, all right? And if you know anything about us as the Kaya Biz team, we find a business story in everything, because the truth is business isn't boring. Next time you take a look at a tractor or any kind of agricultural machinery, whether it's owned by John Deere, whether it's the likes of Cat or any other producer of agricultural machinery, take a look at it differently. Not only does it help farmers plow, uproot, and maybe provide irrigation services for their land, but it's also an indicator of the kind of performance that we're seeing within the agricultural sector. The more machines being bought, more boom, bustle, and activities taking place in the agricultural space, the fewer that we do need to be mindful of that. Tonight, we thought to touch base with a good friend and colleague of ours, agricultural economist Thabile Nkunjana, to help us set the tone, theme, and context around agricultural machinery sales, how they've been performing, and what it tells us about the industry. And even though you and I might be living our city lives, it helps us better understand how, all the way within the farmlands and other agricultural spaces, farmers are really putting in the work to make sure that you and I are able to enjoy the meals, fruits and vegetables that we have on a day-to-day basis. Thabile, such a pleasure to have you with us, sir. Thank you so much for making time.
Good evening to you, Google, and always a pleasure having me on the business.
But Thabile, I think in my future life, I'm going to be a farmer. There's no place I like more than the Midlands or, you know, out in Mpumalanga. I relish there. So in a moment, I might ask you about cabbage prices, but I'll park it for a moment as I prepare you, because I hear those prices have been dwindling substantially. But let's talk agricultural machinery. I was not even aware that there was a metric to actually monitor the movement, volume, and trends around agricultural machinery. But this is important because it helps us set the context around the performance of the agricultural space. Tell us more.
Yeah, certainly, Gugu. You know, I like how you introduced this entire topic, because when a slow tractor by the road where they are going towards northwest Mpumalanga, wherever you want to go or direction you're going to, you will underestimate it in terms of can and also the work that it does. But remember, even the car that you're driving, if the folks that were building it did not eat, they're not going to be able to produce it. So pay attention and respect, you know, those tractors.
True.
So just to get to your topic now, basically there has been quite some you know, some sales growth that we have picked from the sales of the machinery. This include into the context of agriculture, both the tractors and the combiners and other small machinery. But specifically for now, we'll focus on the combiners and the tractors. And the importance in this, Google, is that when we are seeing, you know, the activity that we've been seeing, so literally now it is the 8th month that we have seen growth in terms of the sales of the tractor, of the machines that we were selling, specifically tractors, and which we are anticipating that probably by end of the year will be above at least maybe 800 units sold. And that is, of course, it is a good reflection of what the sector is doing in terms of the performance, irrespective of what, you know, we have been anticipating, you know, from the tariffs that I believe we have talked about in the show, and generally the economy of the country. So this is a positive indicator that the agricultural sector, indeed, it is performing. And of course, the GDP, you can sort of attest to that. We've seen another increase in there. So we are relatively, you know, happy about the activities that are happening within the machines and tractor sales general.
100%. I'm glad that you wrote in GDP in there, because yesterday when we did take a look at the metrics, there was a significant positive turnout within the agricultural space. And maybe not just looking at the machinery, but also getting your views and perspective on agriculture and its contribution to growth. I'm assuming this means La Nina and El Nino are factors that have not been contributing to the disruptions we've previously seen in the agricultural space.
Yeah, I mean, the part of the positive that we're seeing, Google, on the overall sector is that now coming to the GDP that you've mentioned, is that I remember earlier on we have had quite some robust rains where we've seen quite extensive, you know, rains across the country that generally boosted the economy, the sector. You know, this can be either other products. I remember and the agriculture sector is more inclined or dependent to a larger degree to how the weather, you know, looks like.
Mm.
So that did quite, you know, some good developments. And of course, we also saw, you know, the numbers in our grains and oil seeds, which is another factor into the sales that you are seeing and the factor, you know, performance. So those are some of the factors that, you know, are altogether putting, or, you know, seeing, putting through the indicators, you know, that you are seeing. And then, of course, the exports, you know, the horticultural sectors, you know, we are busy in the middle of the sector, particularly the citrus, which is almost going, you know, low now, or maybe it's finishing it. So generally, there's been positive developments, can be also even internally. You know, I was seeing also that, you know, the restaurants, the establishment, the colleagues that go to, you know, to dine, and the hotels, they've seen also a growth. And when those kind of, you know, sectors are doing well, the agricultural sector positively benefiting to them, because, you know, whenever you're dining out, you're eating your steak, your ribs,
yeah,
in the hotel, you're ordering your eggs and everything, those are really, you know, indicating a positive, or at least adding positively to the agricultural sector. So generally, there's a couple of things that, you know, are pulling, you know, those numbers that we are seeing, which is quite good, and we're happy given that we have been very much, you know, in the negative part of things, given that, you know, a lot of factors that we've been seeing since April, but it looks like things are coming up nicely, and the sector guys, you know, stakeholders, traders, farmers are really, for now, optimistic about the entire thing, but we hope this gonna continue until the end of the year.
100%. But Thabile, I'm so glad that you mentioned all these dynamics, because maybe it is fair for us to also reflect on the conversations we've been having since April. As we know, full confirmation that the 30% tariffs from the US have been implemented from the 1st of August, if I recall correctly. And the significant part of the concern was how this will impact the agricultural players within the Western Cape, largely citrus growers, as well as those within the grape environment. I guess a quick update, you know, are we seeing that there's been any kind of feedback or impact since the implementation of these tariffs? But also, to contextualize this with the purchases of agricultural machinery, I guess this also speaks to certain sectors of the agricultural environment that require machinery. And when I think of maize, that's typically where you need more of the machinery versus grapes, citrus, and maybe even the basics like cabbage.
Yeah, no, you got that correctly. Gugu, maybe you should consider career in agriculture.
I'm getting there. We have one up at Tabile. One day is one day.
you're getting it correctly. So, as for the citrus, you know, Western Cape particularly is the province that, you know, we are really, you know, crossing fingers. But the reality is that there was a serious push of the products, you know, towards the US market before the, you know, the tariffs were implemented. So that push, it looks like it really, you know, did some, you know, some positive developments. But I think we will see, you know, the overall performance as soon as the season ends, which is in a few weeks now. Normally, moving towards the next month, we are really almost done, you know, or at least finishing with the citrus industry. So therefore, that's when we'll really see. But in a context of the overall in a citrus, because that a larger product that the citrus South Africa's produces is not really in Western Cape, but because of the concentration, or maybe because a lot of what Western Cape produces go to the US. That's why there was a fear. But if you had to look, you know, to largely across the country in terms of the citrus, you know, it might not be really that of an issue. But again, this is something that, given also that there was some sort of assistance that the state did try to work with the industry in terms of cushioning all this effect, be it directly to the farmers themselves, so that they can maintain the jobs that are there. Those are some of the, you know, factors that are really, you know, kind of cushioning some of the issues there. But as I was saying earlier on, that immediately when we see, you know, the overall data after the season ends, that's when you can really see the context. And then for the machineries themselves, now we are moving towards the planting season for the grains, maize and whatnot. The summer one, actually the bigger ones, as you are saying. So that's why I was saying also that we are moving towards, even going to reach 800, I believe, of the units of this, because as of October, November, that's when you're going to be really seeing farmers in the field. A lot of tractors on our roads are going to be there. Perhaps, you know, the numbers are very likely to increase. I think maybe when we are to revisit this topic later on, we'll probably, you know, see those. So it's very likely that we're going to continue seeing this performance both in the combine harvesters and the tractors across, throughout the country. And of course, the sales, which are really, for now, paints a very beautiful picture, you know, for those of us that are within the sector.
Definitely. Oh, this is so intriguing. And I appreciate what you mentioned, that it's the planting season for May. So that does give us context around the purchases of these machinery. So long may the success last. And hopefully we do see a significant harvest that will come through after the season. But Tabile, something else that I'm intrigued by, I have a few friends within the farming space, and that's why I'm a bit enamored and passionate about the price of cabbage these days. And that's been the bane of the frustration for many crop farmers who have been noticing the sharp decline in the prices for some of the crops that they sell. And then when you see these products on the shelves at retail stores, they're selling for upwards of 20 Rand. So maybe just help us contextualize an understanding of, you know, how the market prices work when it comes to particular crops, how that's also seasonal, and any crop is essentially a commodity, and the price is always dictated by the market and the market sentiment. So maybe just educate us on that dynamic so we understand the frustrations of many farmers versus what we see on the retail shelves.
That's a very, you know, that's a good question, Google, because I was just looking for the past few days, you know, in between the my normal work that I'm doing throughout the year, even now, actually, I'm still working, I just arrived to my place, is that the reality is that the market, the factors that you just mentioned, some of them, is that they determine what's happening. I will make an example about beetroot. Recently, beetroot has been one of the key problems for consumers, because normally there are specific times. We have three periods that beetroot is planted and is harvested, and then normally across from November, December, you know, to January, that's when we normally see a lot of demand for it because of the holidays. A lot of people want their beetroot, their foods to look great and whatnot. So those are some of the periods. So for this year, like it is the case for, and make an example about beetroot, but it applies to also cabbage and other products, is that we have had quite an issue in terms of beetroot. Some few, not so long ago, we saw a plant that processes beetroot closing down in South Africa. That sort of have an impact in terms of the producers, because they saw that, because of that, from producing beetroot to other products, because they were anticipating lower prices for that. It happens even for the cabbage when there's a season that has so much good or larger supply. Then some farmers maybe will consider moving to another product. And then another issue that I've picked from the data is that we exported quite a lot of the product at a specific month. So this applies for again, when you have a cabbage, when there was an oversupply, as the prices I've been seeing again from the fresh produce market data, is that it appeared as if there was a larger, you know, supply of it, and also the buying of it some other countries, it was not as big. But for those products that, you know, we're buying, the countries, we're seeing a lot of vegetables for South Africa going to other countries, which is positive since, you know, those bans that we have had with our neighbors. So we try to diversify those products a lot. So we are seeing quite a very good development, because countries in Europe now are buying some basic vegetables in South Africa, including the beetroot itself, you know, some tubers there, which is positive. So generally, the issue of supply and demand and seasonality, when is the product going to be available for the market? Because for the periods that is normally not there, chances are we're going to see a price going up. But as soon as we have more supply, because they are not really sales, maybe demand elsewhere, and then even the local consumers are not really buying it, then it gets to a problem for the farmers, because the prices are going to reflect it, and generally they're not going to make profit, which is not a very good thing that we want to see for the farmers in South Africa.
My goodness, Butabile, this is so refreshing and intriguing, and especially as you mentioned, you know, the closure of one of the processing plants, but also the seasonality of the crops and demand that we're seeing outwards. When you mention the price increases, and I guess, you know, food inflation on particular crops, are there particular crops that are more at risk of higher inflation or higher cost increase, price increases in comparison to others, especially as we're making our way now to the festive season? So I'm assuming that's typically where we see a heightened level of demand, purchase as well, and cost factors that play into the pockets of consumers.
Yeah, so I mean, generally around this time of the festive, you know, another bad news is that, for instance, now we've been seeing some issues with the beef. unfortunately for the guys that are like their brides on the weekend and all that. But now it remains quite a nightmare. And generally, when we're moving from November to December, a lot of us buy a lot of meat. So that tends to be an issue around that time. And given that I remember the foot and mouth disease, it remains quite a nightmare, for the country and of course the farmers. So there are some of the issues there, but generally we're going to see the demand. And if, you know, we are not managing, you know, this foot and mouth disease, for instance, specifically for the red meat, we're really going to be in trouble. But another issue is that I've seen some data for the export. There's really a lot of demand for our meat. So that, again, it increases the demand. And when the demand increases while the supply is under pressure, as we have seen, we have been around 50% of our normal supply for both beef and sheep. We have had issues there. And then for other general, you know, vegetables, Bertrand just mentioned that in December, we're going to normally see that in the carrots, the potatoes, and a lot of takeaway, you know, which put pressures on some of the products that you normally buy.
Mm-hmm.
As a takeaway, you know, and all that. So these are all the factors that feed in, you know, to the supply and demand within the sector and, of course, the economy.
Mm.
People might not really have, you know, the exposure, the disposable income that is going to, you know, allow them to buy, instead of buying the nice salads that you want to make your food very beautifully,
yes.
You're going to be forced to buy staple products. That, of course, so the economy performance, it does really affect the sector. And of course, when, consumers have enough, it also bodes very well, you know, with the sector, because people are going to buy a lot of stuff, you know, the tomatoes and everything to make those salad looks nice,
yes.
For the shakes for them. You know, it's quite develop a nice thing when all these things fall nicely together.
But Tabule, I am ready to become your intern, because as you're mentioning this, I'm thinking of the fact that we're headed to the festive season, usually in a lot of Xhosa culture, nemisebenzi, weddings, and of course so many family functions that actually see a lot of us in our Black culture having the beetroot, the cabbage, and of course even the chakalaka. And this speaks to the basic ingredients that you and I have just spoken about. Beetroot, cabbage, and carrots. And of course, beef and meat that is typically needed within these spaces. So I really appreciate the guidance you've given us, because this helps us contextualize, you know, just how far reaching and how important the agricultural space is, not only to the economy, but to us who are also participants in the economy. Yeah. So I guess we need to tread carefully next time we buy groceries there, clearly.
Yeah, absolutely. But when they're expensive, also do buy, because our farmers need that money.
Yeah, that's true. Before I let you go, you're quite right about buying. We've got a WhatsApp message that's just coming from one of our listeners, Popo Love. She says, the size of beetroot has become extremely small and not so sweet, and that caused me to stop buying it. Does this also speak then to perhaps the harvesting period or the processing of beetroot, size, quantity, and even the taste of the crop?
No, that Google is mostly going to be related to the issues of the weather. Remember that very rainy period that we had around April, May, somewhere there.
Mm-hmm.
It really affected the quality of the product. So that's why, you know, the yields, or maybe the plant did not really get enough time, you know, to grow and germinate accordingly. So there was a bit of stress for some of the products, including beetroot, which is why we are seeing a very variety in the products itself, even the taste and everything, because the texture, it gets to be affected by water and, of course, other weather-related issues, as it is the case for potatoes. When there's frost, maybe, you know, it tends to not get to be very big and get to be smaller. And then, of course, the demand for specific, for instance, the establishment that will want a specific size based on what they produce, or maybe it's going to be a bagger that you're going to put your whatever that is there, so they need certain size. But because of the weather related issues, those get to be problematic sometimes, because of the weather related problems, and therefore the size that they will normally need is not going to be there, if the texture, the taste, and you name it.
Hi, Butabila, I could speak to you all day. I'm in. I'm happy to be your intern in the agricultural space. Watch me be the girl at the family function who tells people, "Yazi beetroot klamalanga imvula."
Yeah, you're going to sound very smart. You should do it.
Definitely. But Thabile, thank you so much for your time today, sir. I truly appreciate the insight you've shared with us. And we will certainly touch base, not only on these developments, but so many more impacting the agricultural space. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure being in the show, Susan. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you. That's Thabile Nkunjana, agricultural economist, helping us just with an update of what we see in the agricultural space. And what he's highlighted are so many key lessons that all of us can use, can be aware of, and, you know, use next time you're having a conversation with friends and family and you want to sound smarter than them. If there's anything he's taught us is that agriculture as an economy and economic contributor is interconnected to our everyday lives.
Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfuphi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.